welcome to the Pro Football Weekly's Fantasy Football Podcast. It is playoff season in fantasy football, and we are here to break down each game for you to help, hopefully help you advance in your fantasy football playoffs. My name is John Solly. I'm a PFW fantasy football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts. We will start with Kyle Neighbors, Northwest Herald sports editor and PFW contributor. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how's it going?
It's going all right. I hope everyone that's still alive in the playoffs, if he was still available, went out and grabbed D.D. Westbrook because it has arrived and it's going to continue.
All right, we got some D.D. hype already. I love it. And our other co-host, you can find him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish, PFW managing editor Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm still alive in two of four leagues and feeling pretty good about that. So, yeah, looking forward to breaking down some matchups. This, on paper, looks like the best weekend of the NFL season so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. So let's start with the Saturday games. And I'm excited there are Saturday games. College football's regular season and conference championships are done. So the NFL gobbles up a couple Saturday spots. So we will start with the Bears and Detroit with a 44 over under and Detroit favored by 5 at home. Arthur, I want to get your take on this game from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, I mean, the hand wasn't an issue for Matthew Stafford last week. I think his 31st fourth quarter comeback or something absurd like that. Not of the season, of course, of his career. But the hand wasn't an issue. He threw for, I think, 380 yards. His decision-making was a little questionable early on. But after a slow start at Soldier Field 3 weeks ago, he turned it on. He had a big day with Marvin Jones. I think they ended up putting 27 on the board, and that's probably the same area I'm looking at this time. The biggest change has been sort of the increased role of Theo Riddick. So, Kyle, is that something you think we can depend on? It sounds like the Lions could get Amir Abdullah back, too. If you're not in a PPR league, does Riddick have any interest, or do you have any interest in him?
It's hard to say because I don't know how Detroit's going to use Amir Abdullah when he's back. I mean, we know all season long I've went ahead and ragged on Amir Abdullah. I'm hoping that Detroit realized with his absence that they're a better offense with Theo Riddick dominating the touches. But John, do you have any idea or do you have any sense of how they plan on approaching this week?
Man, Jim Caldwell wouldn't even tell reporters his favorite movie this week. I don't think he's going to clue anybody in on how they're going to use Abdullah.
Does anyone have a guess on Jim Caldwell's favorite movie? It was a big, there's some fun with it on Twitter this week. I know it's not exactly fantasy football content, though.
Santa with Muscles, starring Hulk Hogan. How about the Chicago side? Anybody got any love for anyone?
I'll tell you who I would find to be intriguing, except for he is designated as questionable on the injury report with a chest issue, is Adam Shaheen. Played well in the first meeting, caught a touchdown, had a huge third down conversion over Glover Quinn, had his best game last week in Cincinnati. I mean, which Bear didn't, but now the injury kind of has me a little bit worried, but he's still the guy I would look to just because the Lions' issues covering tight ends just have not went anywhere. They're still, I think, a bottom five or bottom six defense against the position. Other than that, though, it's just the chalk play and Jordan Howard. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I think you about hit it on the head there. I mean, you can maybe, if you're really in desperation, take a look at Kendall Wright. I mean, he had a monster game last week, but the Bengals have struggled against slot receivers for most of the year, so that wasn't a surprise. The question is he going to be involved again this week with expecting that Dontrell Inman would be taken away on the outside. This game has a lot more intrigue, I think, from just a regular football aspect of just wondering if the Bears can build on a really solid performance. And obviously Detroit needs this to continue to have a chance in the playoff discussion, but from a fantasy standpoint, I don't think there's a lot of interest to glean from it, at least outside of the main guys.
All right, well, with that, let's move on to the other Saturday game that should decide the AFC West. Chargers at Kansas City, 46 is the over-under, and it's a pick 'em, or the Chargers are favored by 1, depending on which betting line you're looking at. So, Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on this game.
Well, I mean, you said the over-under is 46, and I know Kansas City played well against Oakland last week at Arrowhead, but I'm still not a big believer in that defense. I really like the way the Chargers are playing this week. I mean, Melvin Gordon continues to be really inefficient. So, I mean, if they're gonna put up points in this game, I think they're going to. It's gonna be through the air. Love Hunter Henry in this spot. Love Keenan Allen. Of course, you're probably playing Keenan Allen, and you might already be playing Henry, but I think he's someone that you need to consider. Outside of that, I think it's pretty standard. But on the other side of the ball, what do you think Alex Smith is going to be able to do against this really good Chargers defense, Arthur?
Yeah, it was a little bit frustrating for Smith last week after the game of the season for him in New York. You'd expect better results from Oakland. We had a top five grade on him, and he kind of did you know what in the bed. So first time around, a couple touchdowns, super efficient, only threw for 155 yards, but had a really nice game. And I think there's probably going to be some points in this one, and I think he's going to play pretty well. Tyreek Hill's turned it on a little bit. I'd expect Travis Kelce to get really involved again after, again, he had a quiet week alongside Smith this past Sunday. So I think you feel okay about Smith, and you obviously feel tremendous about Phillip Rivers. Remember, Rivers had three interceptions in the first meeting, and he's played at really pretty much an MVP level ever since. I actually posed that question on our other podcast. Is Phillip Rivers maybe the MVP candidate no one is discussing? But yeah, so don't feel great about Smith as a lock and load QB1, but I think he should be pretty solid, and it's kind of par for the course with the Chiefs being the usual suspects that we see every week.
And John, we talked about on the Daily Fantasy podcast last week about Kareem Hunt, and you said you couldn't go there, and there he goes going for 115 yards and a touchdown, huh?
It was troll week last week in DFS. I saw that Cherkandrick West got in the end zone. I was like, see, Kareem Hunt, wrong play. And then Hunt goes off for, what, a buck 38 and a touchdown. I've got to tell you, I don't feel great about Alex Smith in this matchup. The Chargers defense, I believe it's something like 3 of 13, something like that. Quarterbacks face the Chargers have thrown for multiple touchdowns this season. And
wow.
Alex Smith is not a guy that you expect to excel against good secondaries, right?
You're not wrong, John. I mean, I did lower him significantly. Like I said, I think I had a top four, top five grade on him 2 weeks ago, and he delivered last week, and then he kind of was not good at all on the Raiders. So I dropped him down. Actually, I've got him at QB 17. So, yes, I think you're on to something, and I've got him right behind Jimmy Garoppolo, so there's a good chance that our listeners are going to have a better option. Blake Bortles also ahead of Alex Smith this week, so some other guys potentially go out there and get.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. We're on to the Sunday slate now. We'll start with Philadelphia and the Giants. The over-under is 40, with Philadelphia favored by 7.5 on the road. Arthur, what does this Eagles offense look like from a fantasy perspective without Carson Wentz and with Nick Foles?
I honestly think it's going to be okay, John. I mean, I think that that's the beauty of what Howie Roseman, what Doug Peterson did in the offseason, that whole personnel staff, is they built this thing up. I mean, no one assumes that you lose an MVP a quarterback, and you just kind of keep on moving along. But they're number two in the NFL in rushing. Jay Ajayi just had his Eagles highs in both snaps and touches, so it looks like maybe we're starting to get some clarity there. And I don't know, I'm a bit of a believer in Foles. He's definitely one of the better backups in the league, and I think he's still going to be aggressive throwing the ball downfield. Now, keep an eye on Alshon Jeffrey, who I believe did not practice Thursday with an illness. Zach Ertz is out of the concussion protocol, so that's an obvious boon, although, gosh, Trey Burton, that was quite a Zach Ertz impression last week. He saved me in one of my leagues that I had Ertz in. So
he's done that a couple times now with Ertz out.
Yeah, he's I don't remember who it was on Twitter, but someone, an NFL type, a former personnel guy, said that Trey Burton's going to make some money in the offseason and become a starter, which I can believe because he's versatile and he's athletic. So it's pretty impressive there, but obviously he doesn't have value if Ertz is back, I don't believe. So I don't know. I'd expect Jay Ajayi to continue leading the backfield, and I would expect this thing to continue moving along. Kyle, tell me why I'm wrong.
I really can. Not in this matchup.
I
worry about their long-term viability, but I think they should be able to handle the Giants pretty easily. I think what you're going to see here is probably a run-heavy game script as they try and figure out how they can make this backfield work to their advantage come playoff time, and I would think this might be the week that Jay Ajayi really breaks out. We saw him get 15 carries last week. I think that number is probably going to go up a little more this week. They're going to find some kind of rotation that they feel better with, I'm guessing, with Ajayi leading it. But I guess from a fantasy perspective, what are we doing with the Giants here? Can they keep it competitive, John?
No. I just don't see it. I don't see a path for the Giants to really keep it competitive unless, you know, Nick Foles just goes out and totally messes the bed and ends up, you know, turning the ball over a couple times and gives the Giants offense a short field. That's pretty much the only path I see.
So here's
Eli
question.
Had it. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll pose this to you, Arthur. Given the matchup and the fact that he's got a hamstring issue, and we saw how it kind of hindered him last week, I mean, he had been pretty good earlier in the season, but are you willing to take a chance on Sterling Shepard if you're still alive in fantasy football playoffs?
I'm not. He's burned us a couple times now, and it stinks because I love the player. I really do, but it's just been such a disappointing second season for him. And look, I'm saying this after he went absolutely berserk in the first meeting with the Eagles, 7-133 and a touchdown. That was his best fantasy game of the year. But we have not seen anything in terms of consistency in more than a month now. I mean, he blew up San Francisco, missed the next two games, and was really quiet the two after that. So for me, this is, unless I really don't have a better option, I think I'm steering clear of everyone except for Evan Engram. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think Engram, as we've been saying for a while, is basically the safest option there. And after that, you're really asking for a lot of volatility.
And he's been quiet, guys. Engram hasn't done well. I guess he had a solid game 2 weeks ago. That was the first time in about a month. So the consistency that made him so excellent in October and into November has suddenly kind of disappeared for Engram as well.
All right, well, with that, let's move on to the next game. Green Bay and Carolina is the next one. This opened at 44.5. It has jumped up to 47, obviously, with the news that Aaron Rodgers is back, with Carolina favored by 2.5 at home. Kyle, do you have any concerns over rust for Aaron Rodgers in this matchup?
A little bit, but I think this is an important enough game for both of these teams. I mean, if you have Aaron Rodgers, you're plugging him in this week, right? I don't see any reason you wouldn't, Arthur.
Unless you got someone, you know, unless you happen to have Russell Wilson too or something like that. I've got Rodgers as my QB9 this week, and I do anticipate a little rust. I just look back to he's only come back from a multi-game absence once. We all remember it, of course, at Soldier Field, week 17 in the 2013 season. And, guys, he wasn't good until he threw that game-winning touchdown. It was very uneven, and that was a Bears defense that let up 51 points the week prior. This Panthers defense is obviously much, much tougher and really rushed the passer well last week to knock off the Vikings. So I do have some concerns, hence the ranking that is pretty conservative. But you've been waiting this long, and again, unless you got another ringer in front of him, I think you're probably going to have to take your chances.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned like you that there's going to be some rust, but yeah, this, as Kyle said, this game is way too important, and I see a path for Rodgers to have at least a solid game.
Guys, if you want to talk about taking chances, who's buying the Aaron Rodgers preparing to squeeze the remaining juice out of Jordy Nelson this week? I'm sure you guys saw that that line, and it's no surprise because we know the legendary rapport between these two, but Jordy Nelson's been on the back of a milk carton all season without Rodgers. Is anyone going down that road?
I've got no problem with it because Nelson gets red zone usage with Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. he had six touchdowns in the four full games that Rodgers played. I have no problem with it. And I think, you know, if we want to take a kind of an indicator from the way to judge it is, one, you see the Vegas line moving. They think that he's going to be okay, and Jordy Nelson's probably going to be involved. And looking at the daily fantasy sites, they went ahead, even before they knew Rodgers was going to be back this week, they bumped up Jordy Nelson's price a huge amount. So they're obviously expecting him to go back to the normal usage. So if you have Jordy Nelson and you've been putting him on the bench, I don't think it's a crazy idea to plug him back in this week.
What about Randall Cobb? Because, I mean, slot receivers have kind of given the Panthers trouble a little bit later. You know, Mohamed Sanu had a great game. Jarvis Landry had a great game. So what about a guy like Cobb as a potential flex option if you need one?
Kyle, I'll defer to you on this.
I'd probably rather stay clear. Just go with Jordy Nelson or Davante Adams. You know, I think those are going to be his two top options coming back. I feel like I'd have to be pretty desperate to want to take a chance on Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I tend to agree. John, you're right about the slot performance against the Panthers, but at the same time, if we're trying to work Jordy back in, and we got to remember how busy Jamal Williams has been, I don't expect them to get away from that. If anything, they may try and lean on that sort of new weapon as much as ever to ease Rodgers back in. Cobb is quite a dart throw for me. Am I crazy, guys? I wrote about Jonathan Stewart a little bit this week. He's done this in December the past 3 or 4 years. He was great last week. He was great 3 weeks ago. The Packers are not good defending the run. Is Jonathan Stewart anywhere near back in the circle of trust for either of you?
No, but I would understand if someone, you know, needed a running back or a flex play this week and popped him in after the way he's played the last few weeks. But I still think it's Jonathan Stewart and the dud is coming.
Yeah, and you know, as bad as Arthur, you're totally right. The Packers are terrible against the run. It does look like right guard Trey Turner is still in the concussion protocol for the Panthers. So maybe something to sort of temper expectations if you've got him for Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, and just since we're mentioning Jonathan Stewart, RB6 over the past 2 weeks, RB16 over the past month. And just since we are mentioning offensive line injuries, the backup right tackle for the Packers missed practice on Thursday. That's Jason Spriggs. He's the one who would be getting Julius Peppers. And Julius Peppers is the one who almost ruined that return in 2013 for Rodgers. If not for that John Kuhn block and that Chris Conte blown assignment. So just one more thing to think about in this one.
All right, well, let's move on to a game that looks like a blowout on paper. Cincinnati going to Minnesota. 42 is the over-under. Minnesota favored by 11 at home. Arthur, I want to get your take on this one. The Minnesota side looks awfully appetizing after what the Bears did to Cincinnati last week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, Latavius Murray obviously has become a weekly thing now. He's been really good. Jerick McKinnon got back on track a little bit, I want to say, over the past couple weeks. And now he's going to get a Bengals D that could very well be a top Vontaze Burfict again. So looking good there. I'm kind of over the Stephon Diggs thing, though, I got to say. I've just been waiting, like everyone else, just waiting and waiting and waiting. And I know he's burned more than a few people at this point. So you have to do quite a bit of convincing for me with Diggs, even with all the Bengals cornerback injuries. But I do like the normal dudes. And Case Keenum was good. Even with the turnovers last week, he still turned in a pretty productive fantasy day. He's got that rushing kind of value that raises his floor a little bit. And he hasn't had back-to-back clunkers, so I'd expect Keenum bounces back against his Bengals defense that looks like it's already phoned it in.
I mean, I think you fire up anyone and everyone on the Minnesota side of the ball. The Bengals are in just awful shape. Adam Thielen has to be one of the top receivers of the week. Like I said, the Bengals being burned by slot receivers, Adam Thielen might be the best one they've faced yet. On the other side of the ball, there's not really much there. It's going to be kind of one of those weird weeks where you have to fire up AJ Green and then just sit there and pray he breaks one against Xavier Rhodes. But, guys, I think this might be a bad, bad blowout.
Yeah, I agree. I think you feel great about anybody on Minnesota. And Kyle, I think you hit the nail on the head with AJ Green. You have to start him, but you're praying that he can find a way against Xavier Rhodes. So let's move on to the next game, Miami and Buffalo. 39 is the over-under, with Buffalo favored by 3 at home. Kyle, Kenyon Drake has been a monster lately. Do you think he continues that against Buffalo?
Yes, I absolutely believe that he's going to continue that against Buffalo. I actually think this might be his best game to date. I don't like the Buffalo run defense. I love Kenyon Drake's passing game usage. You know, Jay Cutler's going to continue to target him and short routes. God, you know, I have trouble believing in this Miami team as a playoff contender, but at the same time, like, the Damian Williams injury kind of just opened up the playbook a little bit, and they just seem to be really clicking on offense right now. Arthur, are you buying in with the way that this offense is moving?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough not to, you know, they're in the best two-game stretch of the season or coming off their best two-game stretch of the season and three starts with Kenyon Drake since the Jay Ajayi trade. He's RB7 overall. The past 2 weeks we've seen him get feature back workload, and he hasn't been any worse for the wear, obviously. He's been absolutely fantastic. He gets an awful Bills run defense, I believe the worst one in fantasy football against running backs. And remember, they spent a lot of time on the field last week, guys, and that wasn't any field. That was the thunder, snow, full field. So there's going to be some heavy legs I would anticipate on the Buffalo side, and I absolutely love Kenyon Drake. I think I like Jarvis Landry more than most this week. I like how you can always feel confident in Jarvis Landry's floor. It's pretty safe. Yeah, I mean, I think those are the kind of the two guys you're really looking at on that side. I like LeSean McCoy a lot this week, too. John, anything else on the Buffalo side, or do you agree with McCoy being in a good spot?
I think McCoy's in a good spot. I think if you're desperate for a tight end, Charles Clay is not the worst. Just because Buffalo, they don't have any healthy pass catchers, so it's got to go to somebody, but that's the only reason I would fire up Charles Clay if you're desperate.
Who's starting? Miami's playing better on both sides. It sounds like Tyrod's going to be back. At least I saw he went through a full practice Wednesday. I haven't checked out his status today, but Sean McDermott doesn't say anything about injuries. And at the same time, kind of the rumblings out of Buffalo seem to be that it'll be Tyrod again.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Houston and Jacksonville, 39 is the over-under, with Jacksonville favored by 11.5 at home. And Arthur, it looks like Blake Bortles might be one of the safest fantasy quarterback options this week. I feel like, am I wrong with that?
This is where we're at. Yeah. This is where we're at. No, I'm just going to go ahead and throw out my bold prediction now because I am too excited about it, and I can't hold off any longer. Blake Bortles will be a top five quarterback this week. He's been crushing, guys. He really impressed me immensely with the job he did in Seattle, outplayed Russell Wilson. He looks like he's throwing with confidence down the field. Kyle's boy, D.D. Westbrook, found the end zone finally, and we still haven't even seen him be really explosive yet, which is his number one calling card. So I love the connection those two are putting together. And my only concern here is a game script thing, because I think it could get away from the Texans pretty quickly. But I think they're trying to get Bortles ready for a playoff run at this point. I think that's going to involve trying to attack Houston where it's weakest, and that is through the air. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I actually think they might be pass-heavy one. Houston's bad against, I mean, awful against the pass, but also Leonard Fournette's dealing with this quadriceps injury, and he's saying that he's going to play, but I don't think he's fully healthy. So I think that if he does play, they're going to try and limit him quite a bit. You'll probably see Chris Ivory in the game some, too. So I actually think they're going to be a pretty pass-heavy team unless it gets way out of hand, which it might, because Houston is just abysmal. But I love D.D. Westbrook. As I said coming into this, I think this is another blow-up spot for him. If he's still available, please go pick him up, because you're just missing out on points. You saw last week what he's able to do when they get the ball in his hands. It's just each week he's getting a little bit more involved. It's so much fun to watch.
He caught a back shoulder from Bortles in the fourth quarter last week with the game still very much up in the air, and it just kind of illustrated the confidence that's growing between those two. John, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I do want to ask you about the Jaguars real quick. Are we at all comfortable if Leonard Fournette turns out to be a late scratch, or things just don't trend right the rest of the week? Are we comfortable plugging in Chris Ivory against the Texans defense, or is that too risky for semifinal week?
I hope you've got a better option than Chris Ivory.
Yeah,
I realize that you know the game script is probably in his favor, but I hope you can find a better option than that, because I don't believe in the talent anymore in Chris Ivory, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I want to ask about because we sort of have the similar situation with AJ Green going up against Xavier Rhodes, and now we've got DeAndre Hopkins going up against Jalen Ramsey. We have to temper expectations again. For DeAndre, even though that we know the targets are going to be there, and game script is probably going to be in his favor too?
Well, I've just seen now that he did not practice actually today, Thursday, with the toe injury. So I'm not sure he's going to play.
Even better.
Wow. Is that a change from Wednesday? I didn't realize he was even dealing with that.
No, he was added to the injury report today.
Man.
Report, yeah, I'm seeing here.
Doesn't
Yeah, doesn't say how severe it is, but he did not practice, though.
Okay. I did a little number crunching on Hopkins versus Ramsey in three meetings. He's got just the one touchdown. That was in week one, 755, one game on 16 targets. You know, because of the targets, guys, I mean, obviously no one other than Antonio Brown is seeing more than DeAndre Hopkins, and it's not even particularly close. So monitor the injury and go into it. If you think he's healthy enough to play, you better go into it thinking Nuck is going to be your WR3 instead of your WR1. But I still can't see a scenario where many people would be in position to leave him on the bench altogether.
No, I think you got to play him just because of the way he's used. And, I mean, you saw T.J. Yates after he came in last week, who looks like he's going to be the starter this week again.
Yeah.
He peppered him with targets. So, I mean, he's probably not going to have a very good catch rate, but the targets are still going to be there.
All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Guys, this is one of the largest spreads I have seen this year, the Jets at New Orleans. 47.5 is the over-under. I am seeing the Saints favored by as much as 17. In this matchup in New Orleans. So, Arthur, I want to get your take on this one. It looks like Alvin Kamara is going to play. This looks like a total blowout for the Saints, though.
Yeah, no doubt. And Kyle's the astute one who's pointed out on numerous occasions on this podcast that if you're looking at that type of a potential route, then things tend to sort of gravitate toward Mark Ingram over Alvin Kamara. Now, they both should be rested after having 10 days off, and Kamara obviously just getting out of concussion protocol. So you feel fantastic about both of those guys, but I may actually have to adjust my rankings to put Ingram ahead of Kamara. And then, guys, I mean, the Jets are not defending quarterbacks, fantasy QBs, so I still think you feel really good about Drew Brees, even if this one gets out of hand early. That Brees-Thomas connection should be good for some at least early production before things get crazy. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to go a bit against the grain here, and I actually think Alvin Kamara over Mark Ingram because the Jets have been very good against the run but not great against the pass. Now, it's kind of been ebb and flow a little bit, but I just kind of like the way Alvin Kamara is being used. You saw last week, even in one series, he still had four touches. So I think, I mean, you're playing both of these guys, but I think Kamara actually has a higher upside in here, this matchup. John, do you agree?
I think both of these guys are just going to eat. I don't see any way that they don't. So I think you feel really good about both of them. And Arthur, I know you've got them ranked high, and they should be ranked high in this matchup. So I don't know that I can pick one or the other. I think both of them could end up being top eight running backs.
I got Kamara as RB3, Ingram as RB5. Ingram was dealing with the toe last week, but still was over 4 yards per carry. Guys, Ingram's up to 5.1 yards per carry on the season. Kamara, of course, had an absolutely obscene 7 yards per carry. The Saints are living well. What do you think about Robbie Anderson? I know he's going to get a lot of Marshawn Lattimore, but he's also has a familiarity that maybe some will forget from working with Bryce Petty last year. And Petty loved throwing deep to Anderson last year. They actually had some success in that vein.
I don't hate it. I mean, the Jets are going to have to throw, and Anderson's going to get most of the targets. So
exactly.
And yeah, I think he's probably going to get loose for one. I don't know how much more than that, but that's sort of how
I
feel about it.
I mean, you're probably going to play him if you have him. He's been too good the second half of the season. Unfortunately, you saw what the floor is last week, though. I mean, he couldn't find the end zone against a Denver defense that had given up the most passing touchdowns in the league. So, and I think this game could get out of hand quickly. I mean, like I said, you're going to play him, but you definitely have to understand that the ceiling's not as high as what it had been over the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, no doubt. I was tempted to add him into that. I wrote about Hopkins and Green and the lowered expectations and great matchups or brutal matchups for them. And thought about including Anderson because Marshawn Lattimore really is getting into that rarefied air. So I've got Anderson way down at WR21 this week, but he's going to do a lot more than the 6 targets he got last week with Bryce Petty now in the mix.
All right, well, let's move on to the next game. Arizona at Washington, 42.5 is the over-under with Washington favored by 4.5 at home. Kyle, I want to get your take on this game.
I think you just kind of want to walk away from this game if you have, or unless you have to play anyone from here. There's just not a lot here. I mean, Kirk Cousins has just gone off the deep end over the last month of the season or so. God, I really don't know what to play here. You're probably going to play Larry Fitzgerald, but, I mean, how great do you feel about that? You know, I never feel great about it. Arthur, what are you playing from this game?
You know, I think maybe the sneaky play, the obvious, yeah, of course, Larry Fitzgerald, and I think on the Washington side, probably Jamison Crowder. He was really good until last week. I know that was frustrating, but what about Kerwin Williams, guys? He's not built like Adrian Peterson. He obviously isn't Adrian Peterson, but he's been getting that type of a workload. He hasn't found the end zone yet, I don't believe, but I know he had 20-plus touches. I think each of the past 2 weeks in Washington is just trash defensively in the front seven.
I don't hate it, but the Cardinals do have two injured offensive linemen on top of that. Joe Bodier goes on IR, and Earl Watford's got a high ankle sprain. So my Mizzou guy, Evan Bame, is getting in, and you know I love Evan Bame, but he's not that great. So
if he had a little higher passing usage, that'd be great, but it's next to non-existent. I don't know. I feel like they're getting DJ Foster involved on passing downs, and I expect them to be behind in this game. So, I mean, you're probably going to play Kerwin Williams if you're desperate because of the volume, but I wouldn't feel very good about it.
All right. Well, I'm glad I'm not in that situation personally. I've been hearing a lot of Kerwin Williams love this week. Our colleague Eric at home had him as his pickup of the week on the TV show. So we'll let Eric take that tumble.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next one. Baltimore at Cleveland. 40.5 is the over-under. Baltimore favored by 7 on the road. Arthur, we've had some love for Alex Collins, and it looks like he has really established himself in that Baltimore offense.
I thought I was going to get my second bold prediction of the season right, and if we're pretending that's anything good, I think this is what, podcast number 15 at least. So, yeah, it's been a brutal hit rate. But I did say Alex Collins would be a top five RB last week, and I believe he finished either 7th or 8th, and he's been a total revelation. I mean, it's been fun to watch. He doesn't resemble the runner that got booted to the curb for nothing in Seattle. So, yeah, I think you're sticking with him. Although I will say Cleveland, you know, they shut down that Green Bay run game that came in really hot last week. And you know, they're kind of becoming, I think Cleveland is actually becoming a D that teams are throwing on a little bit more of late. So not sure that favors Collins per se, but he's now got 5 touchdowns in the past 4 weeks, and his average is climbing too. And obviously you're going to ride the hot hand if you have him.
Kyle, any love for anybody in this game?
I think that you can go right back to the well with Josh Gordon. It sounds like Jimmy Smith is going to be out, right? So, I mean.
Oh, yeah. He's done for the year. Yeah. Yep. Gordon, a great play.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, yep. Josh Gordon, you've seen 17 targets over 2 weeks. You know, he's only caught 7 of them because DeShone Kizer can't hit anything. But, I mean, you're still going to probably get some big splash plays out of him. So you feel pretty good about that, but not much outside of that. I mean, would you guys be willing? Let's see, Mike Wallace or Jeremy Maclin?
I have to take exception. DeShone Kizer is hitting opposing defensive backs quite frequently and with accuracy. But sorry, John, go ahead. No, I don't love Wallace or Maclin this week. What about you, John?
Definitely not Wallace. He's missed 2 practices.
Okay.
And it's Mike Wallace. An injured Mike Wallace is not exactly a guy that I like. So if Wallace is hurt, it does bump up Maclin a little bit for me. I don't mind putting a slot guy in against Baltimore or against Cleveland, but I'm not thrilled with Jeremy Maclin. If you need a flex, Macklin's not a bad choice.
Speaking of disappointing Mizzou guys, I thought the Maclin fit was going to be so much better, and obviously just hasn't panned out. So what do I know?
All right, well, let's move on to the next game, which is, I think, really exciting from a real live football perspective, too. The Rams at Seattle, 47.5 is the over-under. Seattle favored by 2.5 at home. Guys, I know Russell Wilson is one of the best fantasy quarterbacks out there, but traditionally he's kind of struggled against the Rams. Do you downgrade him at all in this matchup, Arthur?
No, I would expect just the opposite. Wilson was bad last week, and I anticipate he's going to play really well this time around. You are right. He wasn't good in the first meeting, and years past, Rams defenses are always tough, but this is so different stylistically, so not going to put too much weight into that. More than anything, I just expect a bounce back. It's the biggest game of the season for him, and a lot of people think he's the MVP favorite, and what would the MVP favorite do in the biggest game of the season? He would crush. So I've got Russell Wilson as the QB1 this week, and I'm expecting big things from him. What about you, Kyle?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You called him bad last week, which he was. I mean, he was 17 of 31 and had three interceptions, and he still finished with 24 fantasy points. So, he's got, you know, rushing totals of 50, 31, 25, 86, a couple touchdowns in there. I mean, his floor is so high right now that, I mean, you just feel great. And the Rams defense, while I still like it, I mean, it has given up some points lately. We saw him give up points last week to Philly. So I think this game is actually going to be a shootout. There's a lot of plays in this I like, and one of them, I'll jump to the other side of the ball. How do you guys feel, John, I'll ask you this to you. How do you feel about Robert Woods coming back?
I love him. Why not? I think he's a total plug and play, which I never would have thought a Rams receiver going into Seattle. Yeah, no problem. Fire him up. But that's where we are. And I think Woods, we saw when he was a healthy part of this offense, that Jared Goff loved throwing him, and he really was their number one receiver. So if we think this game is going to shoot out, it's got to go somewhere, and I think Woods is certainly a good play.
Yeah, I think so too, guys. Sorry.
Go ahead, Arthur.
I just like I like the contrast between all the Rams receivers. You've got Sammy Watkins as the deep play, and I think that we're going to see some of that because of the way the Seahawks struggled defending down the field last week. Kupp is obviously just doing great work over the middle, and Robert Woods kind of falls into that latter category too. But I do think there's going to be enough to go around for everyone, even assuming, and I really am assuming, Todd Gurley is probably going to get 30 touches Sunday, because I know Sean McVay lamented after the first meeting not getting it to him enough, and then he was very outspoken about getting away from Gurley a little bit too much last week.
Definitely. All right, well, let's move on to the next game then. New England at Pittsburgh, 54 is the over-under, with New England favored by 3 on the road. Kyle, talk to me about this matchup.
Yeah, go ahead and play everyone on the Pittsburgh side. Feel pretty good about that. On the New England side, play the receivers and stay away from the running backs unless you absolutely have to, because I'm tired of dealing with it.
Oh man, I vehemently disagree with Kyle. My other thought of a bold play this week was Rex Burkhead as the RB1 overall. So yeah, I don't know. The offense is running through those running backs, and they were all playable last week, and the Steelers have not managed to replace Ryan Shazier yet. So I don't see that one the same at all. Burkhead's become the red zone guy, but he's also become that ultimate mismatch creator. So I guess I do know what you're saying though, Kyle, just because Pittsburgh's been getting ripped through the air since they lost Joe Hayden. So I see where you're coming from, but after such a disappointing effort from those Steelers wide receivers last week, I think you have to feel better about the running backs. John, who do you side with here?
Well, I want to add kind of two injury notes. Juju Smith-Schuster was added to the Steelers injury report on Thursday with a hamstring issue. Chris Hogan has been limited in practice as well. So just sort of FYI on something to monitor. Yeah, I'm kind of with Kyle. I don't want to guess on Patriots running backs anymore.
We're going to get pulled. Like, Mike Gillisley is going to get, like, 12 carries this week or something silly. He's back and practicing, and something silly is just going to happen. It's just every time I feel like I have some sort of idea what to do with these running backs, something weird happens. So just I wish I had better analysis outside of just if you don't have to, just don't deal with it.
Oh, man, Burkhead's been so consistent. You're insane. Deion Lewis wasn't good last week. You're right about that. I was wrong. I think it was James White who scored the other touchdown. But Burkhead's been top eight running back over the past 4 or 5 weeks. So I get it, though. That's only one out of three. So I do get what you're saying. And Juju Smith-Schuster, if that's the same hamstring issue that was kind of has reappeared from a couple weeks ago, that's pretty disappointing.
All right, well, with that, let's move on to the final afternoon game. Tennessee-San Francisco, 45 is the over-under. San Francisco favored by 1.5 on the road, which when you look at those two teams' records is kind of amazing. But I'd love to hate on Tennessee, so I'm just sort of laughing at that. Kyle, you were all over Jimmy G a podcast or two ago. Or are you all over him again against this Titans defense?
Well, I think I in my bold prediction last week said he'd be a top five quarterback, and I'm sure, much like Kyle Shanahan, just pulling my hair out in the red zone for the last couple of weeks with Jimmy Garoppolo. He looked really well, and they just cannot execute in the red zone. They had three chances last week. I think it was first and goal from the three, and they passed all three downs and were able to get it into the end zone against a horrific Houston secondary. So, yeah, I mean, I love them in this matchup. I just, you know, we've seen 2 weeks in a row that they just can't get it done, though. Arthur, have you seen anything there that gives you some kind of hope that they're going to be able to finally punch us into the end zone?
I didn't get to watch it closely enough last week to you know, we watched them together, obviously, at Soldier Field 2 weeks ago, and I think they were 0 for 5 in the red zone. I didn't get to watch as closely last week, so I'll have to I'm not going to pretend to know, but Garrett Celek did end up getting in, didn't he? I think for like the third time in the past month or something. Am I wrong about that?
I think he did end up getting the receiving touchdown in that game. Yes, he did.
Okay, yeah. And it was actually, I'm sorry, it was the second time in the past month, but in the same stat line, 67 yards and a touchdown. So, and that was against the Giants and the Texans. Actually, I had Celek as like a deep, deep streaming tight end option this week, but I wouldn't get too cute in this matchup. I mean, obviously Marquise Goodwin has been a revelation for them. And yeah, Garoppolo has been fantastic. Like I said, I've got a top 15 grade on him. So what about the Titans side, guys? Are we giving up here, or what do we think?
I want to, but I think Delanie Walker's in a good spot here. I think if anyone's gonna score on the Tennessee side, it's gonna be from the tight end position. At least I feel confident in. So I think Delanie Walker is somebody I'm not afraid to fire up at all in this game.
Yeah, he's about the only thing I feel confident in. I mean, Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray they're butchering each other's production too much. The receivers have been either hurt or bad, and I don't know what is going on with Marcus Mariota. So outside of Delanie Walker, there's not a lot there for me.
Marcus Mariota has been too rude to the local media, apparently, because he felt the need to apologize for his post-game behavior on Sunday. So,
he said his mom
gentlemanly.
Got after him.
Yep. Hey, it's admirable. He's obviously... Yeah, I was just going to say, he's obviously a perfect gentleman. I'd like to see him get back to being a perfect year three dual threat quarterback we all thought we were going to see, but that ship appears to have sailed until at least 2018.
All right, guys, let's move on to the Sunday night game. Dallas at Oakland, 46 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 3 on the road. Arthur, you kind of called it when Ezekiel Elliott's suspension went into effect that Rod Smith was going to be more effective from a fantasy standpoint than Alfred Morris. And it took a little bit to get there, but it looks like Rod Smith may be the more fantasy relevant running back.
You know, he's eked him out by like a point. So it hasn't been anything amazing, but that huge performance last week, like 160 yards. I think that included about an 80 yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. That'll obviously help your month long output pretty significantly. So, yeah, I just think he's a good player. I going back to the preseason, I was impressed by how hard he ran, and I just had a feeling that they really did like him. Obviously, they kept him on that 53 in a deep backfield rotation. So, and his usage has been interesting. The fact that he was on the field a good deal in the fourth quarter, although I don't believe that game was really all that close, that would seem to normally favor Alfred Morris, and they're finding a way to work them both in. So, I like Rod Smith. I've got him as I don't know where I ranked him actually, but I do like him as a nice sleeper candidate this week. Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you called that one absolutely correct. He's looking really good. I like the way they're using him, you know, both in the run game and the pass game. I guess my question is, guys, is Dez Bryant a top WR1 receiver against a really bad Oakland secondary this week?
I told you guys I saw something in primetime. I've got him as WR16, so not quite. I've got him as a really nice WR2, but he looks like he's maybe got a little bit of late season extra juice in him. I don't know what that means, but yeah, it hasn't been too bad, and it is a great matchup, so you should feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, purely off matchup, I think it's actually a really strong play this week, and it's the Sunday night hammer, right? If you're down entering Sunday night, that's a nice little Sunday night hammer. I know there's still Monday to go, but makes you feel good, you know, heading to bed Sunday night with one game left. And with that, let's move on to the Monday night game, Atlanta-Tampa Bay. 49 is the over-under with Atlanta favored by 6 on the road. Kyle, talk to me about this matchup.
Well, I mean, you would love, typically you'd absolutely love the Atlanta passing game in this situation, right? I mean, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, you know, Mohamed Sanu, if he's able to go. But, we just saw last week against New Orleans. It's just something's still not right here. Arthur, tell me I'm wrong.
Well, let's remember that was 1 week after, was it what, 2 weeks after Julio's historic day. So, you know, Ryan's been, well, it's been inconsistent actually, but I'm sorry, I'm looking at his stats now and saying, wait a minute, Ryan has not been good at all. so you feel great about Julio, you probably don't feel as great about Matt Ryan. I think I've got a, where do I have him at here? He's my QB11, so yeah, just kind of fringe, and that's probably even being too generous. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I would love to saddle up with this, but I think there are probably better options out there.
Isn't this the matchup about a month ago where we got the Mohamed Sanu passing touchdown?
It is.
Yeah, same one. In the first meeting with Tampa Bay, and Julio had like 250, 254 receiving. So, yes, maybe you plug in Mohamed Sanu if he's healthy and hope for that wildcat action. I'm kidding, of course. But a great stat from our PFW Falcons correspondent I saw last week, Knox Bardeen. Matt Ryan, there are two instances of a quarterback throwing three interceptions in a game and his team winning that game, and they're both Matt Ryan's Falcons. So I guess that kind of speaks to the post-MVP regression season he's having.
All right. Well, we've already gotten Arthur's bold call for this week. So, Kyle, I want to get your bold call. I'll give mine, and then we will close out the podcast for the week.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that Philip Rivers finishes as QB1.
Nice. I like that. That's a bold call. And actually, man, Rivers has been so good lately. He really has. I will add to it. I don't know how bold it is, but I think Kenyon Drake is RB1 this week. I think he is, Kyle touched on it, that he's really opened up the Miami offense with the Damian Williams injury. And I love this matchup against the Buffalo defense that just can't stop anybody on the ground.
So we've all got bold predictions of guys that really you wouldn't have, you know, maybe Philip Rivers you thought to be discussing in that realm at this time of year. But it just speaks to the wackiness of fantasy football. Hopefully we haven't had a week where we're all right in the same week. Maybe that'll be now.
I sure hope
so.
That'd
be nice.
All right. Well, with that, we will close out the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. For Arthur Arkish and Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solly. Best of luck in your matchups this weekend.